Psalm 84, we're going to read this. If you don't have a Bible with you, but you have a cell phone, it will show up on your cell phone, I promise. Type in on Google, Psalm 84, and it'll come up. You can read through this because it's going to be worth the time to read it. Psalm 84, and then we're going to have a word of prayer. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. We'll trust that God will stamp the reading of his holy word with his own divine seal of approval and bless it unto all our hearts in the preaching that is to follow. Let's pray together as a congregation. Great God of wonders, all your ways are matchless, godlike, and divine. There is no God but you. Not in heaven, not in earth. And Lord, we know that you rule and reign over all the affairs of humanity, that not one thing falls outside of your providential plan, that you've given us the heritage of those that fear your name. You've called us into the house of God today to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, come as you alone are able to do. Take up the book of God. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as you have promised. Undertake for this congregation every heart, every soul. And we pray that, Lord, you will take this message today. Extend the influence of it as far as you desire to, in order that your kingdom might be advanced. And we'll give glory unto you, for you are our God. Beside you there is no other, from everlasting to everlasting the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text of scripture I want to draw to your attention this morning is Psalm 84 and the sixth verse. These are the words of our text. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. Have you ever wanted to make sense of the pain and the suffering in your life? Have you ever really desired that somehow God would open your heart and your mind and your understanding for you to be able to figure out what it all means? I have. And a penny has not dropped sufficiently until recently for me to understand in my own life some of what that means. I loathe and detest talking about myself. My wife will tell you that I do, especially in public. I'm more private than I appear to be, believe me. I'm going to tell you a quick story. My childhood involved being beaten black and blue. It involved being thrown the length of living rooms into furniture. It involved being emotionally manipulated to the extent that God had to bring into my life one person, humanly speaking, to save my life. And she's here this morning. That woman there saved my life. By the time I was 29, I had organized my own suicide as many times as I have fingers on one hand at least. That woman saved my life. The first 5 years of our marriage, she had to constantly tell me that everything was not my fault. And it wasn't all my fault that things happened. God used her to save my life. She, in human terms, is a reason I'm here this morning. 38 years later, she has not left me, which is remarkable in and of itself. Anyone else less, I think, would have walked away. So when I talk about pain and suffering, in that respect, I am not kidding you. I am talking about something of which I know what I speak. I had a head and neck injury as a child, 11 years old. By 14, I had a permanent headache. That permanent headache has not left me to this day. What used to be on the level of 2 to 3 is now, in this my advanced age with arthritis and motorcycles and rodeo horses and iron work and a lot of hard living. Up in the 5, 6, 7, 8 range, so much so that I have to see a neurologist. So when I talk about pain and suffering in physical terms, I am not kidding. A lot of it doesn't make sense to me, or has not, until recently. But I come to this verse of Scripture, and herein I find the revelation of God Himself for the benefit of my own soul, and so today I pass it on to you because I come here once every 2 or 3 months, maybe not that often. And I cannot tell what your life is like. I don't have any. I'm not going to try to tell you my pain's greater than yours. I'm not going to try and tell you that I know more about your life than you do. I'm not going to try to give you some band-aid solution for deep-seated issues that go all the way back to your very beginnings. I am not going to do it. But I'm going to tell you what God's shown me and see if you get value out of it. Because when I come to this passage of Scripture, I find that the holy God of heaven reaches down and says, look, I can make sense out of your pain and suffering. This is what it's about. Let me show you. So when I come to this verse of Scripture this morning, understand, I'm not just throwing something out to you that's not real to me. It's something that's intensely personal. And if God's passed it on to me, it's worth my passing it on to you. Because in this verse of Scripture, there's a nut, a kernel, an essence of truth that enables us to make sense of the pain and suffering that we endure. And it centers in the person and in the work of Jesus Christ. The first thing you have to understand, and I understand this, and I would be willing to bet you, if I was a betting man, next week's paycheck, that every one of you in some way understands it as well. That the valley of Baca lies along everybody's pathway. The valley of Baca, it's the valley of weeping. That's what it is. It's It's associated with the Valley of Hinnom. It's associated in the scriptures with that valley where they threw the dead, where they threw out the rubbish and that kind of thing. It's associated apparently with that. But in essence, the Valley of Baca, as it's communicated here, means the Valley of Weeping. And every one of us who has suffered pain and endured hardship and suffering knows the pathway through that valley. Because we've trod it many times. I don't know what your life was like. You know what? I hope you had a childhood of bluebirds and buttercups and flowers and joy and little animals running around that were just creatures of happiness. And you always wore glad, happy clothing and a big, cheery smile. I hope your childhood was like that. Mine wasn't like that. I hope yours was. But you can know suffering as a child that the rest of your life will never, ever really leave you. And leaves in your soul scars that honestly cannot really genuinely ever be fully erased, although they may be healed. And the Valley of Baca lies along everybody's pathway. I tell people, everybody's got to put up with something. I'm glad just to have a headache. You know, people have trouble with their marriages. Friend of mine right now walked up to me the other day. Said, Rube, iron worker, I've got a nickname called Rube. Everybody calls me Rube. Rube, says my wife of 25 years, just asked for a divorce. I've never had that problem, but that's his problem. I know people whose children have just run amok, absolutely just made all the worst choices in the world. And those parents just cry and weep, and are upset, and just bear broken hearts because their kids have made every bad choice you could make. They're just off in all kinds of trouble. They're in and out of prison. They're on drugs. They're selling drugs. It's just terrible. And you think, goodness, how could your relationship or how could your situation with your child be any worse than that? It's not my problem. The mercy of God, my children are doing well. But that's their problem. There's others beyond that who are suffering with physical pain. They don't get up a single day without hurting somewhere. That's how they know they made it through the night. Was it when they get up in the morning, as soon as they get up, they hurt? That is one of my problems. And I know absolutely I'm not the only person for whom that's difficulty. Financial reversals. Doing well. Next thing you know, you're broke as a ghetto window. Just all went away. No. Can't make it. I haven't got enough money to pay rent. I've not got money to put a gas in the car to get to work. Can't make it to work. Couldn't make it to church because if I make it to church this week, I'm not going to make it to work next week because I won't have enough gas. I know people like that and have had conversations with them in the last week, and that's their issue. And that may be my issue today. But it could be. How do I make sense of this pain and suffering considering that this Valley of Baca lies upon everybody's pathway? It does. You will not escape it. You won't escape it. If you have escaped it up till now, God bless you. I'm glad for you. But I promise you, it lies along everybody's pathway. I had a friend of mine in Canada, church member. He was rodeo cowboy. I have a picture of him from Life magazine when he was in the wild horse race at the Calgary Stampede. And Life magazine took the photo and put it on the front of Life magazine. And he is there, healthy, well, looking good, front lead out of that team, saddling the wild horse for the wild horse race, Calgary Stampede. He was diagnosed as a young man with MS. He has died by millimeters. The last time I saw him and was in his home in Carstairs, Alberta, Canada, he could not move himself. He was bent down like this, and that's the only way he could even function. That's as far as he could get up. He crawled around the backyard. And that was what was going on in his life. Not my problem, not today. But that's his. The valley of weeping lies along everybody's pathway. He said to me, and it's one of his favorite statements, this life is a veil of tears. That's one of the things that Wayne will say every time I come. This life is a veil of tears. The valley of Baca lies along everybody's pathway. I don't care who you are. You're going to go there sometime. And I dare say you're going to go there many times. How can I make sense of that? Well, there's something that you need to know. And that is this. Jesus Christ, your Savior, has been through every part of that valley ahead of you. I had a policy with my iron workers. I used to look them square in the eye when I was giving them their orientation. One of the things I would say was, look, if you kill somebody on the weekend, you need to come in on Monday morning and say, Rue, I killed somebody on the weekend. If somebody's going to show up with a handgun looking for you, I need to know who she is so that I can know who we're shoving out the door. Because I'm going to protect the rest of these guys. You're on your own. The other thing that I would tell my iron workers is this. I will not tell you to do anything as your boss that I have not done, cannot do, or will not do, unless it falls completely out of the area of my expertise and falls within yours. Me personally, I don't wire three-phase. I don't wire electricity. Why? Because I don't know anything about it. Okay, so I'm not going to go tell you to go do it. I can't do it. I'll call an electrician. But I will not tell you to do anything in life that I have not done, will not do, or cannot do if you're an iron worker. If I tell you that you need to get up on the iron and do this, I promise you I have done it. And if you can't do it, I will send you home, but I will go and do it. Christ does not send you someplace he hadn't been himself. Christ is not going to send you someplace that he hadn't already been. We have a Savior who is tempted in all points like as we are, tested in every way that we are ever tested. And in all of that, he never sinned. So when you look at the 23rd Psalm, listen to what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me. But the first part of that, if you start at the beginning, says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Jonathan knows better than anybody what that means. Want. It's English. It's an English way of saying, I shall not do without. I shall not lack. That's how the British use the word. So when it says, the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want, it means I shall not lack. I shall not be without. The shepherd that you have has been through the valley ahead of you. A friend of mine lives in Lebanon, or a friend of mine, I'm more friends with his kids, but Anyway, he's a missionary, comes from Lebanon. And he explained to me how the shepherd thing works there. I worked in Australia, in a sheep station in Australia. We drive sheep with motorcycles and dogs. That's how we do it down there when I work down there. Traumatic for them. Sheep really don't like you very much because we get behind them and push them with dogs and motorcycles. So we basically just scare the life out of them. Shepherds in the Middle East do it differently. They have a funny little cry that they do, and I can't imitate it, and I'm not even going to attempt it. They have a funny little call that each of them has. It's just a little different. And you'll get a bunch of these sheep, and they'll all mob up, say two shepherds get together and start talking, and their sheep get all intermingled, and then the shepherds get ready to leave. And you think, they're not going to ever get these sheep apart. Never going to happen. Well, what the shepherd does is one shepherd goes over here, the other shepherd goes over there, and they make this funny call. It's a whirring sound that they make. And the sheep that belong to that shepherd separate themselves out of the mob and go there. The other sheep separate themselves out of the mob and they go there. And they just divide themselves out. And then the shepherd goes ahead of them and they follow behind him. They're not driven like we do it in Australia with motorcycles and dogs. They follow them. But of necessity, what that means is that the shepherd's in the lead. So when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's ahead of them. He's been there before. There is no place that you're going to go in the valley of weeping that Christ has not been before, because he is an utterly sympathetic Savior. He is not beyond, he is beyond sympathetic, he's empathetic. I can tell you, you've got some issue, and you've got some issue that I'm just not familiar with. It's not anything that ever happened to me. And there's plenty of issues which I have not had, although, from the story I told you, you'd think I had more issues in Sports Illustrated. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have some of the issues you have. And I can only say, you know what, I'm sorry, I sympathize with you and I'll pray for you, but I can't empathize. But Christ, because he was tested in all points, tempted in all points, tested in all points like we are, is an utterly empathetic Savior. He's not going to take you someplace, not going to send you someplace. He has not been himself, I promise you. And beyond that, you go back to Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. One of the worst things in your life that you can ever experience is to feel alone, especially when you suffer. When it all goes bad and you're stuck by yourself, it's a miserable feeling. It doesn't make any difference how many people are around you. It doesn't make any difference how big a crowd you're part of. If you feel as if you're the only one and alone, it's miserable and desperate and bad. And everything's black. There is not a cloud, but what it has a silver lining, and the issue is that the silver lining, not that the silver lining is there, the issue is that the black cloud's in front of it. That's the issue when you're alone. You can't, silver lining doesn't matter to you, it's the black cloud is what you see. So when you are like that, there is no more miserable feeling. Christ says, you can walk through the valley of darkness. If you look into, for example, a new NIV translation, it doesn't have the valley of the shadow of death. It translates it the valley of darkness. And if you've never been in the valley of darkness, let me tell you, it's an unhappy place to be. And the only thing that will allow you to get through the valley of darkness is the fact that Christ is with you. I was sitting down at a fire station yesterday. And when I was talking to one of my paramedics, And he and I had a conversation earlier. It was a personal conversation, and I said, Eric, just keep that to yourself. And he looked at me square in the eye, and this is a guy, he was an officer in the Coast Guard, big, smart, good-looking, capable paramedic, firefighter. And Eric looked at me and said, I've got your back, Chaplain. I have got your back. Jesus Christ has your back and your front. You've beset me behind, go to Psalm 139. You've set me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and I dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Christ says, you go through the valley of weeping, I've got your back, I promise. I've got your back. That to me makes it bearable. That makes it bearable. That Christ has got my back. That he is going to go with me through the valley of the shadow of death. Through that valley of darkness. That makes it. But you say, hey, look, you know what? You've talked all the way around the discussion about this, but you haven't really made any sense of this yet. Have I? Promise I'm getting there. We're there now. I got this covered. I promise. How does it make sense? I told you the penny hadn't dropped till recently. Recently, I had more interesting opportunities to minister in the last 2 weeks, probably, than I have in many respects in 38 years prior to that. I've been in the ministry. I've started preaching in Ordway, Colorado. I preached my first sermon when I was 17. And my first preaching license at 18. I am 58 now, and I'm going to be 59 in July. Long time. So it's 40 years? I don't do math well. 40 years, right? 42. Yeah, 42. Okay. There you go. Get somebody that's smart enough to do math. I get a calculator. I can't do that. Okay, that long. So, into my life has come the opportunity to minister to a person whose experience of life is so similar to my own that I have been able for the first time to make sense of my childhood and the suffering that I endured. First time ever. The penny finally dropped. And it's in this verse. Who passing through the valley of weeping, make it a well. Every one of you is a minister of Jesus Christ to somebody. You say, not me. That guy up there that preaches on Sunday, he's the minister, not me. Wrong. And I'll tell you why you're wrong, and I'm not trying to be obnoxious. I'm just saying you're wrong. If you're a member of the body of Christ, you may not be an eye, but you may be a hand. You may not be a hand, but you may be a finger. You may not be a finger, but you may be a toe. You may not be a toe, but you may be a part of the leg. I don't know where you fit in. But I know that we are members one of another. And I know that the intention is that the body should help itself. When I have broken my toe and couldn't really put a lot of weight on this leg helped out. When I broke my finger and snapped it in 08 on Valentine's Day, which made things a bit awkward. Fortunately, in the mercy of God, I had taken her out to dinner the night before, so we were good. Yeah, always get your licks in early. Seriously. Always get your licks in early. I took her out Thursday night this week for Valentine's Day so that if I broke my finger Friday or Saturday, I would still be good. Okay, so I get your licks in early. All right? But
when they snapped that finger, when I snapped that finger, and I heard it break. The only thing I've ever broken that I heard go. It popped loud enough you could hear it to the back door. They took it and they taped it together with the other one. Why? Because this finger will keep that finger straight. So that's what they did. They taped it together. And the one part of the body helped the other part of the body. They didn't splint it at all. They just taped it together. Why? Because one part of the body is there to help the other part. That's the reason it's there in many respects. Because one part helps the other part. When you pass through the valley of Baca, you've passed through the valley of weeping. Let me tell you what makes sense of your sufferings. Into your life, in due course of time, God is going to bring somebody. You will not have to hunt them down, I promise you. They will come to you brought by the hand of God in the midst of a providential plan over which you or I have no control whatsoever. You won't choose these people. You won't be the person, you won't select them. You won't say, that's the person to whom I'm going to minister. God will just reach out, bring them from where they are to where you are, and then he will say to you, okay, you've had all these experiences, it's time to share. Because that person needs what you alone have. And it's my intention that you, as a member of the body of Christ, should minister to them of the depth of your own experience. And you know what? That's a tremendously liberating thing for me to know. You know, it makes sense of my sufferings. Person that I'm talking about said to me, and I've been doing a lot of mentoring, a lot of counseling, this person that I'm talking about said to me, I am so sorry that you had to endure all of that to get where you are now. And I said in response, it is what has enabled me to minister to you. Every pang was worth it. Everyone. Because if it weren't for that, I would never understand you and never understand how to minister to you. It makes it all worthwhile. And that makes sense of every bit of pain and suffering you have ever had. Because it's your intention, that it's God's intention, that you should pass through the valley of weeping and there make a place for other people to drink out of the same place from which you yourself were revived. And that makes it all worthwhile. If you don't get anything else out of what I say today, understand that you have a place in the body of Christ and you have a job to do. And you may not know who that person is. You may not ever have. You may not have met them yet. But I guarantee you, on the basis of what has happened in my own life and what I can see in the Word of God, that they're on their way. And you're going to meet them. And then every piece of pain and suffering that you've ever suffered in your lifetime is going to make sense. And the penny's going to drop. Because you're here to serve others. How do I know that? You're here to serve others. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Well, you're a member of the body of Christ. Christ came not to be served, but to serve. And to give his life a ransom for many. That's what he said. And if that's what he came to do, then that's what he's got for you to do. Because his work is your work. Your work is his work. So, it makes sense of suffering, doesn't it? That gives me great satisfaction of mind. I now can walk around and think, oh, okay. I don't know what this is about, but I'm sure it's going to be useful sometime. Smash a finger, break a toe, get cancer? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I've been instructed by my operations manager to go to the doctor's this next week because he wants the doctor to check me out. It wasn't, hey, you know, Rue, I think it'd be a good time for you to, I think it's a good time for you to do that. He said, I want you to make an appointment with the doctor, and I want you to tell me when the appointment is, and when you've gone to the appointment, I want you to report back to me as soon as the results come in. I want all the results sent to me. All right, you're the operations manager. Okay, we'll play this your way. And I wouldn't go to a doctor under normal circumstances if you held a gun to my head. You know that. You know, guys, I'm a guy. I'm not going to go to the doctor. My finger could be hanging off. I won't go. Not going to happen. Hold a gun to my head, threaten me, and say, you got to go, and I'll go. I don't know what the doctor's going to say. The doctor's going to probably tell me I'm healthier than he is. Probably. But I don't know that. I don't know. You don't know what a day may bring forth. You can't boast yourself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. But I know this, that the valley of Baca lies along everybody's pathway. I know that Christ has already been where you're going. I know that Christ has promised to take you through it, and he has your back. And I know that once you get through it and come out the other side, you're going to have valuable experience that some other person needs for you to minister to them. And that makes it make sense. And it makes it all worthwhile. Let us pray. Great God and Savior, there is no one like you. You do all things well. Your word is good to your servants. It's forever settled in heaven. You, O God, perform the thing that is appointed for us, and many such things are with you. Thank you so much for making sense of our sufferings and enabling us to understand that you have allowed all these things to the purpose that we may be the ministers of Jesus Christ to those whom you bring to us who need the benefit of our experience as you have led us along the pilgrim pathway. Undertake for us as we finish out this service. Visit us, Lord, with revival. Let it begin in me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. And now may the God of grace and glory, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, bless you in every way. Enable you to hold your head up and see his face. Make sense of all your sufferings and enable you in days to come to be used by him to aid and to minister to the saints of God, the members of his body. Amen.